I'm George Stevens, and I am a person. I was held as property as a child. Even before my birth, I was called a slave in an America you wouldn't recognize. But folks like you helped me escape north to freedom. And in 1864, I joined the infantry to fight for my country. I fought so all slaves would be recognized as persons, not property. And we won. But today in Colorado, there are still people called property. Children, just like I was. And that America you thought you wouldn't recognize is all around you. And these children are being killed. This November, vote yes on Amendment 62. Amendment 62 declares unborn children persons, not property. And that's the America I fought for. So visit personhoodcolorado.com. And in November, vote yes on 62. It's the right thing to do.
Warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and who came into the studio?
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm here to help,
Doug.
I hope.
Doug, you are here to help. You brought something for the show.
I brought something to you that you might... I brought the audio that everyone's been familiar with, Bob.
The audio
that's been going around.
The news cycles, yeah. News cycles these days are 24 hours, and yeah. It's an old story.
And then it's an old story.
So this, millions of people have heard this.
This is even worse than that, Bob. This is audio. This is something you've been talking about, I don't know, for 20 years?
On the air.
On the air. You've talked about this very thing for 20 years, but this audio is new to people, and there are a lot of people who are unfamiliar with
this depth of depravity.
With this, yes, and depths that you've been describing for so long.
Some people, this is
new information. They're shocked.
And we realize, we've documented over the decades that this goes back throughout human history, because people are basically good.
Well.
No. Yeah. Have you ever gone to a chat room?
I have been to a few chat rooms.
And then you ask yourself the question, are people basically good?
Yeah.
And then you see the vicious hatred
at
the drop of a hat in a chat room, and that's where people's true selves are coming out.
Right. They're unrestrained, unconstrained.
Yeah, Jesus said it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean, not what goes into him.
So can I roll this for you, because I want to get your take on Virginia Ironside.
True, no, and I think that if I were a mother of a suffering child, I would be the first to want, I mean a deeply suffering child, I would be the first to want to put a pillow over its face.
Dr. Peter Evans
is from... As I would with any suffering thing. And I think the difference is that my feeling of horror, suffering, is much greater than my feeling of... getting rid of a couple of cells, because suffering can go on for years.
I'm sorry, I was just about to introduce another guest there, but that's a pretty horrifying thing.
What?
To say that you would put a pillow over the...
Of course I would, if it was a child I really loved who is in agony. I think any good mother would.
Cause some shock amongst people.
I don't know any mother who wouldn't say that if this was... There was nothing else that could be done... And
that's
it was
just not true.
Do you think that mothers would agree with you?
I think a lot would. Maybe not any, but not a lot.
I allege, Doug, that was the name of a major motion picture produced by Germany during World War II, and it premiered in Rome and in Berlin on the same weekend. And it was of a doctor... who loved his wife so much, and he couldn't cure her, so he killed her.
Wow.
And this is the Germans produced this. The Nazis produced this to show what it means to love another person. To love another person, your wife, a child, a baby, means that you're willing to kill that baby so that there could be peace in your life.
Wow. Virginia Ironside has taken that lesson to heart.
Yeah, she really has.
Yeah.
And this is the rebellion against God. God created us. God gave us the boundaries, including do not murder, as he said in Exodus chapter 20, and as Jesus repeated it in the New Testament, do not murder. And he also put it differently elsewhere in the Bible. He said, do not kill the innocent.
Yeah. Well.
So Doug. So
Virginia Ironside says that if it's a child she really, really loves and the child is in agony and there's nothing else that can be done, she would be the first one to put a pillow over that child's face.
Right.
That, to you, that's not true love?
Yeah, that's brutal selfishness, the kind of selfishness that will kill a child so that we could be in peace. When people suffer, it's hard.
I'm sure it's difficult.
Yeah, obviously. Suffering, and when you see people you love suffering, that's difficult. But when you decide, when somebody's suffering, I'm going to kill them, God has given us boundaries, and God has told us we cannot kill the innocent. And so when we love those who are suffering, we are becoming Christ-like. When we care for those who are suffering, when we kill those who we say are suffering, then we're becoming like the Germans who slaughtered children in juvenile detention halls because these kids were miserable. They were miserable. They slaughtered Germans by the tens of thousands because they said they didn't have a good enough quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Well, the number to call, folks, is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278 if you want to have your say on the broadcast. So, Bob, it seems not only did Virginia Ironside take the lessons of the Nazis to heart, but all of Western civilization has taken their advice because, I mean, more children have been killed due to legalized abortion in the Western world.
Than died in World War II.
Well, even if you just take any 4 year chunk, there's more people killed. Just in America.
In World War II was a worldwide calamity. Doug, there's a quote at bluebookalternative.com.
Okay.
Have you heard of that website?
I got my blue book in the mail just Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
I got my blue book in the mail.
We got ours. We actually mailed ours to Personhood Colorado. We mailed our blue book. And, in fact, somebody brought one in here. Personhood Colorado.
Are you collecting blue books?
Not me. Personhood Colorado is.
Oh, they are.
And, in fact, here's one right here. Here's proof it's here.
Okay, you've got the blue book.
You hear that?
Thank you.
Proof that we got a blue book. And they're collecting it, and they're going to try to figure out what to do with a mass quantity of blue books.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're such a lie. But there's a bluebookalternative.com, a website, and you could read all about the amendments that are on the ballot 2010 in Colorado.
Right.
It says right there, bluebookalternative.com.
I like that.
And under Amendment 62, Inalienable Rights, there is an arguments against section. You know how the blue book has arguments for and arguments against?
Yeah, yeah.
And it, just that could make you a little bit sick because let's say the law is rape.
A proposed law against the violent rape of women.
Against rape, like when women were treated like property throughout the world.
Yeah.
Before Jesus Christ. That's why he was so revolutionary. He told men they should be willing to die for their wives.
Right, yeah.
That was just so fabulous of the Lord, because he made women too, and he loves them equally.
Indeed.
And so, and that's one reason Christianity took off in the Roman Empire, because women said, hey, these Christians are saying we should be treated equally to men.
Yeah.
And it was great, obviously. Well,
so you have the arguments against in the blue book.
There's
arguments against Amendment 62.
Yeah, or? Yeah. So imagine you introduce a law against rape.
Yeah.
And you're going to have arguments against.
Against the law against rape.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just appalling.
That I wouldn't want to have to sit on that committee.
No. Or say you're going to stop the Holocaust and you introduce the law and you're going to have arguments against stopping the Holocaust.
Just seems bizarre.
So whenever it's a moral issue, to argue against is deplorable.
It's immoral.
It's immoral.
But that's what a bureaucrat does.
Right.
I mean, you want your paycheck, you're going to do your
job. They don't know right from wrong. So in here at bluebookalternative.com, there's actually an arguments against Amendment 62 section.
Really?
And in here, they point out that Planned Parenthood is the opponent.
Okay.
They're the opponent to Amendment 62, and that Planned Parenthood cannot be trusted. and that they have their Margaret Sanger Award, their founder and longtime president. And
yeah.
Here's a quote from Margaret Sanger, and liberals won't believe that she wrote this.
Okay.
So.
Well, they might believe it after hearing Virginia Ironside, who, by the way, is a liberal. I'll give you her bio here.
All right, good. And maybe we could play that audio again in a moment. But Margaret Sanger, if you click on these links at bluebookalternative.com,
yeah.
They go right to Google Books. In Google Books, they scan Margaret Sanger's books. You see it right there in context. She says that the blind and the deaf are the dead weight of human waste.
Wow.
So that we should not spend money, waste money on the handicapped because, quote, they are the dead weight of human waste.
Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood.
Founder and longtime president, and they still honor her every yeah. year, the Margaret Sanger Award. And then she wrote this on page 33 of her book, Woman and the New Race, of babies after they are born, like this woman.
Yeah.
She wrote, the most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. And guess what, Doug? This baby that she's talking about killing is yeah. not suffering.
Well, that's right. This just baby, a large family.
Yeah, large family. Maybe, and what's the definition there? If you have two kids in some neighborhoods.
Yeah, most of my neighbors would consider three a large family.
Three a large kids. Family, and yeah. they will look at you. And they'll get angry and resentful.
Mm-hmm.
You have four kids, five kids. You're in a grocery store and you got seven kids. And a woman will say, well, I'm glad it's not me. and the mom says, so are the kids.
No kidding.
The kids are. But here's Margaret Sanger saying.
So now, Bob, this quote from Margaret Sanger, if I'm not mistaken, Margaret Sanger passed from the scene some time ago.
Yeah.
So this isn't new information that's just now getting out there into the public consciousness.
No, it's
because
been...
most of America is in shock this morning, and Britain. They're in shock that anyone would say something like this.
And this woman probably will be, in fact, this could help her popularity. She's a columnist with the Daily Mail.
Yes, she says, I started off my career as a journalist. I wrote for the rock column for the Daily Mail and then suffered long bouts of depression. I write the Dilemmas column for The Independent, a monthly column for The Oldie, and I'm starting a new career as a performer.
Mm. That's audio right from her website. That's her. If you click the About Me section on her website.
So I'd like to hear...
So she's a journalist and a performer. So I would agree that this will, no doubt, advance her career.
It probably will yeah. among liberals.
Yeah.
For example, how is an evolutionist atheist... How do they become most famous and most accepted? The ones who say the most inane and absurd things with a straight face.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the ones who become famous.
Yeah.
Because how do you posit evolution by random mutation to produce all the beauty and wonder in the biosphere on Earth? How do you posit it? You have to be inane. And they say it with a straight face,
yeah.
and they get paid a lot of money to do that.
Indeed they do. Indeed they do, as yeah. I'm sure she is.
So can we hear that one more time? I want to hear this.
Virginia Ironside, ladies and gentlemen.
True, no, and I think that if I were a mother of a suffering child, I would be the first to want, I mean, a deeply suffering child, I would be the first to want to put a pillow over its face.
Dr. Peter Evans is
as
from...
I would with any suffering thing. And I think the difference is that my... A feeling of horror, suffering, is much greater than my feeling of getting rid of a couple of cells, because suffering can go on for years.
I'm sorry, I was just about to introduce another guest there, but that was that's a pretty horrifying thing.
What?
To say, that you would put a pillow over the...
Of course I would, if it was
child.
A child I really loved who is in agony. I think any good mother would.
All right,
it's going to cause some...
Yeah.
Anyway, I know you can't see the video, but these two relatively vacuous interviewers, their faces are just in shock. It's
yeah.
it's really something.
Yeah.
They've never heard this point of view articulated with a straight face, like you say, and on
yeah.
television in front of everybody.
Yeah, so this Ironside, she didn't just wake up and come to this thought that I would suffocate a child if the child was severely ill.
No.
It happens, we're conditioned to get to these points, like euthanasia and abortion. Euthanasia, first degree euthanasia is where the patient says, I want to be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
Second degree is where they don't say, I want to be put to death. Maybe they're in a coma, or maybe they're mentally ill. They can't make a rational conclusion.
Right, right.
Or maybe it's a child. And so first-degree euthanasia was accepted and promoted, and the pro-lifers, Christians, said, look, this is evil and sinful in and of itself, but it's a slippery slope.
Right.
Pretty soon you'll be euthanizing, you'll be killing people who are not asking to be killed. And they said, what liars, we would never do that. And then the third stage is you euthanize people against their wishes,
mm-hmm.
you trick, manipulate, or force them into euthanizing them. And in Holland, there's a great fear by the elderly of being euthanized against their will.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a leading fear, as it should be here too.
And the Christians who originally warned against this were called radicals, ridiculous.
Yeah.
They were laughed at, not unlike,
yeah.
Who are those two bozos on Comedy Central? Jim Stewart and Rod Stewart? What's his name?
John
Stewart and Stephen Colbert?
Oh, yeah.
Those two laugh and mock at every suggestion of Christians
right.
Against the slippery slope mentality. And
right.
they always have this smirk on their face,
yeah.
like we're the ones who are insane.
Doug, the last time someone who was nearing the end of their life told me personally that they were afraid that they could be euthanized by the staff of a medical facility.
No.
The last time that happened to me was last week.
Get out of here.
Last week, I had a dear friend say, how do I know I shouldn't be afraid? Because people will look at me and judge that my useful life is over, and they think they're going to be compassionate. How do I know? Maybe I should be afraid to go to sleep. And how do you argue with that?
That's because a rational fear, I would
you've
think.
You've got Virginia Ironside saying, hey, I'd do that to a baby.
Yeah.
Why not an older person who's suffering?
Yeah. After all, I mean, we're all paying for everybody's health care now, right?
That's right. So the death panels,
on the,
right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just think about it. Obamacare and Mitt Romney care,
yeah.
pretty much
well,
same
originally,
thing.
Originally it was Romney care.
But they want to save money on whether it's veterans or people who are suffering,
yeah.
but they want to increase money available to kill unborn children.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Notice that? But suicide is inherently destabilizing, because then when you say, hey, it's okay to kill, suicide, euthanasia, it's okay to kill to solve problems, well, then a 16-year-old girl whose boyfriend just dumped her for her best friend, she is suffering worse than any human being has ever suffered in the history of the world.
In her own mind, that's true.
To her.
Right? Yeah.
It is the ultimate suffering. And so if there is no stigma around suicide and euthanasia, well, then that's a tool in her toolbox of how to deal with suffering.
Right.
And she will kill herself, as teenagers are killing themselves in epidemic numbers, because the stigma against suicide is gone because of the left.
And we're the ones who are crazy. You're crazy to bring that up, Bob. It's just,
crazy.
You're ridiculous. Now, speaking of...
Crazy.
I want to talk a little bit. I want to thank, first of all, your producer for... I was on my way to Loveland, and your producer got on the phone with me and talked me into stopping off here and just calming down.
What? Loveland?
Loveland.
They've been in the news also.
There's an art exhibit in Loveland that depicts... It's just, you can't even describe what it depicts.
No.
But it's blasphemous,
it's too
against Jesus Christ.
It's blasphemous. It's too despicable to describe. Like when a KOA radio host said something about Jesus Christ that was vulgar in the most filthy and disgusting way.
Yeah.
Sexually vulgar. And I went to Bill Armstrong's office.
Bill Armstrong, the
former senator.
Senator Bill Armstrong.
Former senator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And asked him to make one phone call. And he said, are you getting a lot of people to make phone calls? I said, no, just you. And I called the general manager, KOA Radio.
Yeah.
I had the audio of what the guy said, because I called into the show right after he said it. And then on the air, I said, hey, this is a great show. Could I come down and get a tape of it? They said, sure, we'll give you a tape of it. And I went down and I got a tape.
Yeah.
And Doug, the guy was fired instantly for something similar to what now tax dollars are being used to subsidize at the Loveland Museum.
So that was then. This is now. This art display is on display right now. We could get a ticket and we could go see it.
You were driving to Loveland.
I was thinking about heading to Loveland, but I was talked down by a...
Well...
A calmer, calmer heads prevailed.
Okay, but...
So you're familiar with the exhibit. Thought,
yeah, the exhibit, right. We can't describe it. It's sexually vulgar about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And so my question to you, Bob, what do you think is the purpose of this exhibit? What's the purpose?
Other than the deep purpose of expressing utter contempt and rebellion for God, other than that, other than the desire of the wicked to blaspheme God, the artist from Stanford University says he wants to provoke discussion and controversy and get people to express their thoughts on whatever.
So what wouldn't it be appropriate for someone to bring the purpose of the exhibit, the purpose of the artist, to its full potential?
Well, sure.
By expressing some controversial...
Thought, response?
Thought, maybe action?
Well, sure, that's the purpose of the exhibit.
Yeah. So...
Well, what are you
now,
thinking?
Now, well, let me just... I just want to talk this through.
All right.
Walk with me on this, as they say. So we know what would happen if this was Mohammed. Now, which it's not Mohammed.
If it was Mohammed, it wouldn't happen.
Well, number one, it wouldn't happen.
The Loveland city government, the museum, the art curator, they wouldn't have done it.
No.
But
let's just say
they have. Why wouldn't they have done it?
Well, because they're afraid of getting bombed and having their heads cut off. Well, that's the secondary reason.
Well, you know what? They have art hanging on the wall right now, blaspheming Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The least of their concerns is that some Muslim might cut off their head. Well, that is the least of their concerns.
I see your point.
Remember Jesus said, do not fear the Muslim who might cut off your head.
That's right.
But fear God.
That's right.
They are blaspheming God with our tax dollars in Loveland, Colorado.
Yeah, and boy, that after the head gets cut off, that's when you're in deep trouble.
Yeah, the head getting cut off is not the significant moment.
That's a minor thing.
Right, because then it delivers you into the hands of the living God, whom you were blaspheming.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That's terrible to think about.
Yeah.
So if this was in some alternate universe and it was Mohammed... Well, the Muslims might go up there and set fire to the place or maybe plant a bomb or maybe drag the curator out and chop his head off.
And videotape it, upload it.
Yeah. That's what they might do.
Yeah, they might. And thankfully, Christians are not Muslims.
Well, that thankfully.
And thankfully, Christians don't do that, but we rebuke and warn the wicked.
So how could a Christian like myself or anyone else appropriately... express the outrage.
Kind of thing, throw out an idea, not something that you would do, but just an idea in the realm of...
attack that certain portion of the exhibit with a machete. Let's just say.
Well, a machete is like a weapon that the security might fear
could
be used against.
Okay, that's
a
I'm
human
trying
being.
I'm looking for boundaries here.
How about throwing ink on that part of the exhibit? Jet black ink.
Now that
maybe
now, that wouldn't put juice. Wouldn't put anyone else's life or health in danger.
No,
and it would bring the purpose of the exhibit to its full potential by igniting.
It would become a living art exhibit.
That's right.
Right.
It would become. It would be participatory art. Isn't that what these people like?
Yeah. Right. That's right? It'd be the ultimate.
I just.
Here's my thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Who am I to impose my morality on another art lover?
if that art lover wants to throw ink,
who am I to impose my morality on another art lover?
I think that we should all be free to express ourselves within certain boundaries.
Well,
I think
you remember
as we discussed
that story
here.
Of the protester who wanted to burn down the ACLU headquarters and the ACLU was defending him in court.
I think I read that.
ACLU defends a protester
ACLU
who
bomber.
Burns down ACLU headquarters.
Well, okay, so we're not going to attack it with a machete or we don't want to... Why am I saying we? I don't know where that comes from. Yeah. I'm saying if an art lover decided that they wanted to participate in this exhibit... And they wanted to throw ink on it.
My only thought in utter humility is to say, who am I to impose my morality okay. on other people?
Well, great. I think you've helped me a lot, Bob. I really appreciate it.
And and they wouldn't do this to Muslims because they're hypocrites. They're not standing up for free speech.
Well, can I tell you what bothers me, Bob?
Yeah.
And I hate the fact that Muslims choose violence as their first reaction to any insult. But I also am kind of tired of the fact that Christians choose to just
take it.
Take it. Yeah, it's getting to me.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to be like them.
No.
But we need to be able to stand up and make a statement that this kind of thing, this is so disgusting and so beneath contempt. Mm. Shouldn't the Christian community figure out some way to respond in a meaningful way that lets the heathens know that
that we're outraged?
And not only that, but for their own sake, I mean, take this thing down because
For our children to grow up in such a wicked and hypocritical nation where all these same people who think this is so fun and acceptable and defend it as free speech. Just 3 weeks ago, they were enraged that a pastor would burn a Koran.
I remember that. Outrage.
The same people
public
outraged.
Public after public
And now
statement.
Just laughing at Jesus Christ, laughing at those who worship Jesus Christ because this is free speech. So all of a sudden, they're the defenders of free speech where 3 weeks ago, they would have guillotined the guy.
That's right. And suddenly, what the artist says is that if you have a negative response to my art, he says that says something about you have a problem.
Right, and I'm sure he had a negative response to the pastor in Florida.
I'm sure.
So they would have guillotined him.
All right, now before we go, we've got the North Lit Drop for personhood at the McDonald's, 104th and Huron, today at 5:15.
Literature Drop, North
McDonald's,
Drop.
104th and Huron, 5:15. Tomorrow, we'll be at the McDonald's, the South Lit Drop. Jordan and Parker Road down in Parker, the McDonald's. We're meeting there at 5:45.
And tomorrow there is in Arvada a lit drop at the McDonald's at 58th and Kipling.
58th and Kipling tomorrow.
And you can find out about more lit drops or do your own. Just go to ColoradoRightToLife.org. And Doug, the telethon was a success. 77 people gave.
Praise the Lord.
And so thank you, $20 a month to 77 families.
Thanks for everything, Bob.
And Doug, what a great show. And our website is KGOV, KGOV.com.